الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى أهل بيته الأطيبين الأنجبين، بهم نتولى ومن أعدائهم نتبرأ إلى الله. اللهم كن لوليك الحجة ابن الحسن صلواتك عليه وعلى آبائه في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة، وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا، حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا. I thank Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala for blessing us with this blessing of Hayat, blessing of life, giving us the opportunity to witness this sacred month of Muharram and to cry on Aba Abdullah once again. And may Allah Jalla wa Ala make these nights, make these majalis, make these gatherings, the tears that will be shed for Aba Abdullah, an asset for our hereafter, for our barzakh, for our qiyamah. Again, it is another year which has passed, and again welcoming another year, 1432 of the Hijra calendar, which makes it 1371 years since the Shahadat of Aba Abdullah al-Husayn alayhi salam. And again, some reminders, some tips to each one of us present over here to observe for these few nights, and in particular for tomorrow, and that is being the first day of the month, recite Namaz-e-Awwal-e-Maah, the namaz, the salat, which you ought to recite on the first of each month, and that is after Suratul Hamd, you recite Suratul Ikhlas 30 times, and in the second rak'at after Suratul Hamd, recite Suratul Qadr 30 times. This is the prayer you need to recite on the first of each month, and after this prayer, give a little bit of a sadaqah, and that will secure you for the entire month, insha'Allah. That is one. Second, Ziyarat Ashura, to be recited, start from tonight and recite the full version, that is with those 100 salams and 100 lan, and continue it with that dua al-qamah, that is after the Ziyarat Ashura. This is another reminder that we have to observe these little tips from tonight. Like Laylatul Qadr that we observe for a whole month of Ramadan just to witness that one night, the same thing is over here. The whole idea is to perceive the day of Ashura and to witness it in the best possible way. We have to start working from tonight. We have to impose a few things on ourselves, reciting Ziyarat Ashura, the full form of it, Ziyarat Warith, again Ziyarat Nahiyah, anything which reminds us and brings us closer to Aba Abdullah al-Husayn, that has to be observed from tonight. Or in simple words, or in today's digital world, we could say that all of these applications that we have, they have to be turned on, or the mode has to be the mode of Husayn, mode of Muharram, that has to be applied onto us. Or in other words, the ringtone of our hearts, we have to change it from today and make it as such that it calls Hussein, Hussein at all times. Whatever is comfortable for you, may that be Aba Abdullah, may that be Hussein, may that be Zainab, anything which reminds us, makes us remember that noble household has to be turned on from tonight, so that we witness that day of Ashura in the best possible way. Again, the other thing is that the priorities of the pure will be the topic of these few nights that we'll be at your service. And each night we'll touch one of these topics, and tonight inshallah we'll talk about niyat, the intention. That what should the intention, what does it mean, what is niyyah, how should we intend, etc. And these intentions, these niyat that we have, the more the insight, the more the ma'rifah, the more the awareness, the better a person would be able to understand and would be able to shed a tear or a quality tear for Aba Abdullah. Now one tear or one quality tear shed for Aba Abdullah compared with liters and gallons of tears, you cannot compare it. That quality tear, it sheds out from the intentions and pure intentions of an individual. So the idea is that we increase the level of awareness and insight that we have so that we cry for Aba Abdullah in a better quality, in a better way. So again, that is something else that we have to work hard from tonight. We have to have a target set for these few nights that we have to impose on ourselves, that we have to do these certain a'mal each day, like those ziyarat, like those recitals. And if, for example, on a day you were busy and you couldn't do it, make it as such that you have a double dose the next day, so that you don't lose anything that you have lost today. So all these are these reminders for these few nights from tonight. And again, we have to train these eyes of ours so that they cry for Aba Abdullah. Train this heart of ours so that it calls Aba Abdullah. And one of the things which does help a lot is that if we have hurt anyone, may that be wives who have hurt their husbands, or husbands who have hurt their wives, children who have hurt their parents, or mu'mineen within the community who have hurt each other, we have to patch and clear all of those problems that we have created with each other so that a better service could be provided. So again, that is something that we have to intend from now, that we are sincerely sorry, that we repent in the presence of Allah Jalla wa'ala for all that wrong that we have done to ourselves, to others. And I'll give you a few minutes so that we can think of all the wrong that we have done and sincerely ask Allah to forgive, so that this worship that we are going to start from tonight would be a worship in the best possible way, an asset for this world, for Barzakh and for Qiyamah. A few moments so that we can think and repent, and then inshallah we will continue. Not forgetting all those who have hopes in these majalis, who were with us till last year, who have no access to this dunya anymore, all those who have requested for du'as from us, all those who are ill and ailing, all those who have hopes in these gatherings that we are in, remembering each one of them for our barzakh, for our qiyamah, for the well-being of the Imam of Time, for his return, for his well-being and his safe return, and everyone and everything, and for our moods and our manners to be intact throughout these nights, forthcoming nights. Aloud salawat. Now, the topic is, it's the priorities of the pure. And one of the priorities that we have to observe, it is the niyyah, or the intention that we have to have. In Biharul Anwar, Marhum Majlisi, he reports a hadith from a person called Mahmud bin Lubayd. He says that I was in the cemetery of Uhud. There I see Hazrat Zahra salamullahi alayha. Come to the cemetery and to the grave of Hamza, Sayyid al-Shuhada, Khayr al-Shuhada, or the leader of the martyrs of Uhud, he says that I saw her, she comes, she cries, she weeps on the Shuhada, and in particular on the grave of Hamza, and there she has the recitals, her buka, and he says that I just waited for her to finish. And then once she was done, I said to her that, Ya Sayyidati, did your father clearly mention, clearly, without any shukuk, without any doubts, without any ambiguity, that what is to happen of the imamat, of the khilafat, after him, in clear words? Now the answer which she gives, if she wasn't a ma'soom, she wouldn't have given that answer. It's quite a lengthy hadith we have in Bihar al-Anwar. And then she said that I'm amazed that why you ask this, were you not present in Ghadir? She says that 100,000 people, they witnessed what my father said. And again, to make it more clear, he raises the hands of Amir al-Mu'mineen, shows and points out to everyone, and everyone sees, everyone witnesses. And then she says that, do you want anything more explicit, more clear than what my father did on that day of Ghadir? He clearly announced and made everything known to everyone that after him, the Khalifa, the successor, is Amir al-Mu'mineen. And then he says that, if that was the case, if he such so clearly mentioned everything, فَمَا بَالُهُ قَادَ عَنْ حَقِّهِ, then why was it as such that he sat down, Amir al-Mu'mineen? And why did he not take his haqq, his right, as the successor and the Khalifa of Rasulullah? And then she continues and says that Mathalul Imam Kamathalul Imam Mithlul Ka'ba is Tu'ta Wala Ta'ti, says that the example of an Imam is like that of a Ka'ba. Ka'ba, you go to it, Ka'ba never comes to you. Now if a person intends Hajj, become a Haji, he has to travel all the way to Mecca. He has to perform those tawafs. All that effort has to be done, and only after that will he be called as a Haji. You never bring that Ka'ba and then circle it around the head of this person and make him a Haji. She says, to Ka'ba, you have to travel. Ka'ba never comes to you. Now, one of the differences that we have in Imamat and Nabuwwah is that Nabi, a prophet, the assignment assigned to him is that he delivers the message. No matter what the circumstances, whether or not people, they listen to what the prophet is delivering, still the duty is that he has to deliver the message. If you look into Surah An-Nuh in the Holy Quran, there it was as such that when Prophet Nuh wants to deliver the message, people ja'alu asabi'ahum fi adhanihim, that people, they used to stick their fingers in their ears so that they don't listen to what Prophet Nuh is giving, the message. So, despite all that, or even then, the next ayat, they say that they used to cover their faces with their clothes that they were wearing in order to mock the Prophet so that they don't listen to what the message is. So that is the Prophet. Regardless of what's going to unfold, what's going to happen, he still has to deliver the message. But the Imam, he doesn't deliver the message. The message has already been delivered. Imam implements that message that has been delivered. And that implementation of a message is not by force. People should want it from the Imam, and only then will the Imam implement that hukm of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. And that is why we find that Amir al-Mu'mineen, he sat for so many years And only for 4 years, or approximately 5 years, he was the official Imam or the Khalifa of time. And the reason for that, it is because the people wanted from him, and only then he accepted. That allegiance has to be there. People should want it, and only then. If there is no one who could serve the cause of the Imam, who could be with the Imam, it doesn't become binding and wajib on him. So that is one of the main differences that we have in Imam and a Nabi. So she says, مَثَلُ الْإِمَامِ مِثْلُ الْكَعْبَةِ, that Imam is like the Kaaba, that you go to the Kaaba and Kaaba never comes to you. So if they come to the Imam, he will accept, take you to the nearness and the qurb of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So if we go to the Imam, he will make us reach the highest levels of ascension and bring us nearer and closer to Allah. And if we don't go to the Imam, then that also would never happen. That means of seeking nearness to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will never materialize. So for us to get closer to Allah, the only way forward is that we come close to the Imam. That is, we come to Kaaba, Kaaba never comes to us. So like a person who is ill and he wants to get cured, he approaches a doctor. Now that doctor, when he approaches too, if he submits, only then will he be able to cure him. And if he doesn't submit, he starts questioning, starts doubting in what the doctor says, he will never get cured. So that total submission has to be there. Or when we go and when we approach the Imam, the teaching is such that كَالْمَيِّتْ بَيْنَ يَدَيَ الْغَسَّالِ, we have to be like a dead body before a person washing that dead body, where the body doesn't move at all or has submitted totally, wholly, solely to that person who is washing. Our attitude with the Imam has to be the same, that we have to submit totally to the Imam. Our desires should be the desires of the Imam. Our wishes should be the wishes of the Imam. Whatever he wants, whatever he desires, it has to be that same desire. Now you have heard this hadith, and it's quite beautiful, and it is mentioned as one of the merits and the beauties of Salman, one of the sincere and the noble servants of Ahlul Bayt, for whom Ahlul Bayt, they say that he is from us, Ahlul Bayt. Says that, the reporter says, that I saw that the land was irrigated, it was wet, damp. And when the soil becomes damp, it is soft. And he says that I see two footprints in this land, on this earth. But when I see at a distance, there are two people, but only two footsteps on the ground. He says, I was amazed to see that how come there are two people over there. It means that there should be four footsteps on the ground, but there are only two. Says, when I come closer, I see that one of them is Salman, the other is Amir al-Mu'mineen. When Amir al-Mu'mineen walks, Salman, he is so cautious and careful that he puts his feet in the footsteps of Amir al-Mu'mineen, not more, not less. So this is not a big art. Even if you and me practice, we also could do the same. But the beauty of Salman is something else. Riwayat, they say that Salman ja'ala hawahu hawa Amir al-Mu'mineen, that his desires were the desires of Amir al-Mu'mineen. That is that mighty achievement, that whatever he wants, he wants. Whatever Imam desires, Salman desires the same. Or in other words, whatever he loves, he also loves the same. To understand this in easier words, there is a report which says that Amir al-Mu'mineen, once when he passed by Kandahar, that is the borders of Afghanistan, people, they offered him a dessert. The food that they had, it was known as faluzak, or in today's language, an ice cream. It was something which was tasty. It was offered to Amir al-Mu'mineen. He says it, but he doesn't have it. And he says that my beloved Rasulullah, he never ate, so I won't be eating it. Or for example, marhum Allama Tabatabai, the author of Tafsir al-Mizan, whenever a fragrance, a perfume was given to him, he takes it, smells it and puts it aside, never wears it. And the reason for that, it says that his ustad, marhum Qazi Tabatabai, since the day he died, he never wore any perfume. That is that bond, that love, that devotion which they have to each other, that whatever he desired, he desires. Whatever he loved, he loved. So that is the beauty of Salman, that ja'ala hawahu hawa Amir al-Mu'mineen, that whatever Amir al-Mu'mineen desired, Salman also desired the same. So that is a total submission, no self-want. He has no charge of himself, or he has handed over his own charge to Amir al-Mu'mineen himself. So one who wants to be a servant of Ahlul Bayt, he has to submit totally to them, or he has to have no freedom of himself. Whatever they say, he also does the same. So one who has submitted totally, his taste buds also, they resemble the taste buds of Ahlul Bayt. So whatever they loved, he also loves the same. And a mature and a perfect man is one who has opened the inputs of his hearts and soul to such a being, that is to Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. Now the answer which she gives over here says that mathalul imam, that the example of the imam is like the Kaaba, that you go to the Kaaba and the Kaaba, it never comes to you. So what shall we do so that Waliyullah becomes the axis, becomes the pivot? And if it takes shape, that is, if Waliyullah or if the Imam becomes the axis and the pivot of the lives of each one of us, then the Imam also will come. So the reason why he is absent is that we haven't taken the Waliyullah or the Imam as the pivot and the axis of our lives. So such Shias have to be there, but what shall we do to align our likes and our dislikes with the Imam, with the Waliyullah? What shall we do? The answer is al-amalu bin niyyat, that we have to correct the intentions that we have. The niyyat, they have to be corrected. If the intentions of every individual, they are corrected, we find that the actions also, they will be corrected. Two things will bring about a change, or there are two easy steps which are mentioned in Dua Makarim al-Akhlaq, which is reported from our fourth Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu was salam. Imam says that وَانْتَهِ بِنِيَّتِي إِلَىٰ أَحْسَنِ النِّيَّاتِ, and then says اللَّهُمَّ وَفِّرْ بِلُطْفِكَ نِيَّتِي. Two things. Says that an intention we have to possess which elevates, which ascends, and two, an intention which is abundant. What does that mean? An intention which elevates to the high ranks, that is, O Allah, by your grace make my intentions abundant, and take my intention to the best of intentions, which Imam says over here. So if these two changes are brought in our intentions, that is, an elevated niyya and also an abundant niyya, a niyya which has wufur, we find that the actions also will be better. So when we relate to Allah and with awliyaullah, there are different ranks and categories. The lowest way of how we connect ourselves to Allah and to the awliyaullah is for the sake of this dunya. That is, I, for example, offer the nocturnal prayers, the salatul layl, so that, for example, the rizq increases, so that a person becomes nurani, so that the life of a person increases, so that he becomes beloved in the community. Now all these things have been mentioned in our riwayat, that if a person performs Salatul Layl, all this will be given. Now these are the worldly benefits which a person gets. Now if someone offers his prayers for that intention also, Masumeen, they say it's okay. So that is again a level of having a bond, a connection with Allah and with Awliyaullah for the sake of dunya. But that is not desired. That is something of a very low level. When we have a relationship or a connection with Allah, it has to be high, it has to be elevated, it has to be abundant. Now one of the things which we find in most of the centers, which you have know for yourself, they say that they come up with these little slips with the names of marhumin written to recite a Fatiha for such and such a mu'min, for example. Now, it's good, we have to remember the deceased, you recite a Fatiha for them. But when you are reciting a Fatiha for someone in particular, you will be rewarded. But if you intend all the mu'mineen, the first one who existed, whoever he was, how many thousand years ago, till the last mu'min who has passed today, if you recite that same one Fatiha and give it to all of them, a huge big reward will be registered for us just for that one Fatiha that was recited. So why restrict the good that we are doing to someone in particular when we've got the same option of getting a higher, a more reward of reciting that same one Fatiha, where we can give it to everyone? And in reply, it's amazing. Once Salman comes to the Holy Prophet and says that he was disturbed. Says, Ya Rasulullah, I don't know why I am so much disturbed and distressed. There's nothing I have done wrong which has made me so much tensed. Rasulullah says, come on, get up. Let's go to the cemetery. They come to the cemetery and he says that, come on, recite a Fatiha for these marhumin over here. He recites a Fatiha, and then when they come back, he says that, I am relieved, relaxed. Rasulullah says that when you went to the cemetery, to the graveyard, and you recited the Fatiha for those marhumin, they got relieved, they got relaxed, and in turn they prayed for you. As a result of their prayers for you, you got relieved over here. So there is this to and fro connection of from this world to the barzakh and from barzakh to this world. So the same thing is with these intentions and with these niyyat. We have to have a niyya which is elevated, which is high, and at the same time a niyya which is wufur, wafir, which is abundant, which takes on board everything. Now to understand these two definitions which Imam Sajjad alayhi salam mentions in this dua, as to what is being meant over here with having an intention which is high, which is elevated, and also an intention which is wafir. A person, now some people they worship, but it is mostly for the sake of dunya. It doesn't matter. But sometimes it becomes dangerous that if we just work for dunya. For example, if you have prayers and we stick these prayers only for the sake of this dunya, for example, for jobs, for wife, for children, for universities, for colleges, just restricting them only, or we approach a ma'soom, or we come to the presence of the Imam of Time only for that little thing. It is not bad. We are told that we should approach them. But sometimes it becomes dangerous. For example, if we approach the Imam to get something related to this dunya and we don't get it, it is delayed. The first thing which backfires, which a person may, he may break that relationship with the Imam, that we came to you and we did not get it. So it shouldn't be as such that only for these little worldly affairs we come to them. the niyyah has to be elevated, it has to be high. In Kafi, Marhum Kulaini, he reports a hadith which is beautiful. Says that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, was established as the Prophet, he comes to Ta'if, and there a person, he comes and meets Rasulullah, says, "Ya Rasulullah, do you remember me?" He says, "Yes." And then he says that you were not established yet, you were a new prophet, you came to Ta'if, I hosted you. He said, "Yes, I remember." He says that you came to me, I was your host, you were my guest, and I served you, what and what not. And then Rasulullah says, "What do you want?" He says, "Ya Rasulullah, if you could give me 200 lambs and a shepherd to look after these lambs." Rasulullah says, "Okay." But then says that, "Pity that why did you ask for something which is so little?" What does this mean? For example, if we've been working hard to meet the Imam of time, for example, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years, we work hard. And all of a sudden we are given an opportunity to meet the Imam. And when we meet the Imam, we say that, "Imam, I've got a headache, can you just cure it?" That's a huge big loss, that after working so hard, we come to the Imam and ask him for something which is so little, so tiny. So when we've come to the Imam, we have to ask something great from him. And then Rasulullah, he continues from here. He says that during the time of Prophet Musa, Prophet Musa is instructed from Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala that you travel to Egypt, and from there you are instructed to take the body of Prophet Yusuf from Egypt and bring it to Palestine, to the Holy Land, and bury Prophet Yusuf there. Now if Allah wanted, he could have given the address of where the body of Prophet Yusuf is, but he does not give the address. He says the address of where the body of the Prophet Yusuf is, go to Egypt, there is an old lady, she will give you the address. He comes all the way to Egypt and finds this old lady and says to her that, "Do you know where the body of Prophet Yusuf is?" She says, "Yes." He says, "Where?" She says, "I won't tell you, but on a condition." Prophet Musa says, "Okay, I guarantee the paradise for you, the heaven." She says, "Heaven, I will get it. I've got another condition." And then she says that, he says, wahi is revealed to Prophet Musa. "Musa, whatever she accepts, whatever condition she has, accept it. After all, it's me who has to give. You don't have to give anything from your pockets." Musa says, "Okay, I accept. Whatever your condition is, just tell me where the body of Prophet Yusuf is." She says, "You must guarantee that here in the hereafter, in the heavens, I be given the same rank, the same position which Allah will give you." That is to Prophet Musa. That is how elevated a person's intention has to be. The same thing can be seen in Quran, that Asiya, the wife of Fir'aun, who claims to be the god, now she is a young woman. Riwayat, they say that her age is either 28 or 30 years of age. Now when she is punished for standing against Fir'aun and associating with the Waliyullah, the capital punishment then was that she be nailed in the ground, her hands and her feet be tied, and a huge big boulder is rolled onto her chest and she is crushed under that boulder. Now when this boulder is on her chest and it is her last moments, her prayers to Allah is that, "Rabbibni li indaka baytan fil jannah." Doesn't say that, "God, give me a place in the heavens." says a place next to you, that is with Allah. I want a place with you, O God, wherever you are, next to you, with you, in the kafil Jannah. So that is that elevated intention which Imam talks about, that we have to have an intention which is elevated. So Rasulullah over here says to this person that it's a pity, it's a shame that you came all the way to me and only 200 lambs and a shepherd. So whoever it was, Imam, again it's another hadith from Amir al-Mu'mineen, says that that a person, he comes to Amir al-Mu'mineen, and then in reply Imam says that, recite as Allahu Akbar.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Imam Amir al-Mu'mineen, he says that in the past I had a brother. Now that what made this person distinct compared to everyone else is that dunya in the eyes of this brother was little and akhirah was great. Doesn't mention who this person was. Now the prophets, the imams, they were sent by Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to make us grow, to make us big, so that we come closer to Allah, so that the distance between us and Allah, it reduces. Now if you see all the worships that we have, all the ibadat that we have, they say that we have to have a niyyah, a qasd, which is qasd qurbat, that I do my prayers so that I seek the nearness of Allah. I observe fasts so that the nearness of Allah is sought. The same thing with hajj, the same thing with khums, with zakat, and all the duties that we are bind to perform. So that nearness is sought, so that the distance between us and Allah is reduced. In other words, prophets, they came to make us humans, so that we don't mess only with these worldly affairs. Now a child, so long as he is small, his desire is to play. If he's a boy, for example, there's a toy, and then as he grows, becomes a bicycle. Again, if he grows, he may become a motorcycle, a car, and again, a house, a wife, etc., etc. So it's these toys that are being upgraded. But if a person elevates himself to a rank, then it's not these toys that upgrade. It is himself which has upgraded, not the toys. So we have to try and do something that we upgrade ourselves, not the toys or not these attachments that we have to this dunya. So that is the whole idea of why these prophets were sent. And the same thing with this niyyah, the second thing which our fourth imam mentions in this dua, says that Allahumma waffir bilutfika niyyati, that God make it as such that this niyyat of mine, it is wafir, it is abundant. Now what does that mean? How can a niyyat of a person be vast? How can that take everything on board? Now again, to understand this, I will mention another hadith again, which is being quoted from Biharul Anwar. It is another beautiful hadith which is reported from Allama Majlisi. Salawat, please. Says that Salawat. Says that a person comes to a cafeteria, quoting from Biharul Anwar, that he comes and sees a father and a son. They come and see another person sitting in that same cafeteria with a turban with an amama on his head, and he falls asleep. And when he falls asleep, his amama slips off, and there is a scar, a wound on his head. Now, The father and the son, they ask this person, what is that scar on your head? He says that this is the wound which I got in the battle of Siffin. They start laughing at him. Says, battle of Siffin? It's centuries ago when you did not exist. How come you got wounded in the battle of Siffin? And then he starts reporting what happened with him. Now, to understand, before I come to that point, the niyat which Imam mentions regarding wufur, regarding abundance in niyyah. For example, we say that God, we wish we were with Imam Hussein in the Battle of Karbala, but we can't be with him because of the passage of time. We couldn't be with him. Or for example, if we are sitting over here, we intend we were in Karbala today. It's the days of Imam, and that's the best spot for us to be in. But we cannot be there because of this distance or the passage of place, of makan. We cannot be there. Physically, we cannot. Or for example, if we intended to be with Rasulullah in the battles which he fought, again, it is not possible because of these passages of time or these barriers that are between us and them. But if you look into your niyat and your intentions, in your intentions, sitting over here, we can be in Karbala. Sitting over here, we can be in Najaf. Sitting over here, we can be in Mecca, Medina, Mashhad. In our minds, we can. The same thing is that we, although we are 1371 years away from Karbala, but in our intentions, in our niyats, we can be with the Imam, we can be with him, we can be with Amirul Mu'mineen. So, here, but we can be there at the same time. Now over here, when this person says that, let me tell you what has happened. He says that I was traveling from Egypt all alone, and then on the way I met this person and we had a debate, and then I found out that this person is a Nasibi who was with me, walking with me to Egypt, and we had a heated debate. He said that if I was in the army of Muawiyah, I would have quenched my sword with the blood of Ali and his followers. Now he says that if I was in the army of Amir al-Mu'mineen, I would have quenched my sword with the blood of Muawiyah and his associates. So they have a debate, a fight, they get wounded, and he says that all of a sudden I find that my head is pounded, and after that I don't remember anything. Says after that, when I wake up, I find myself, that is my head, in the laps of someone, and I find that he is waving his hand on all of my wounds and they are getting cured. When he comes to my head, he says this wound has been cured, but this scar will remain. And then he says, he finds out that he is in the laps of the Imam of time who has cured him. And then he says that, points out at that person who had wounded him, who had knocked him down, says that I've killed him. And then he says, whoever asks you, how did you get this wound on your head, tell them I was in the battle of Siffin with Imam Ali, and there I got wounded. So that is that niyyah. And then he quotes a hadith, says that whatever your intentions were, if you intended to be with Amirul Mu'mineen, you are with Amirul Mu'mineen. If you intended to be with Aba Abdullah, you are with Aba Abdullah, although there is this passage of time. Or it's the same thing which we recite in these ziyarat, that Ya Laytana Kunna Ma'akum, that we wish that we were with you. Now this wish, it's not just a verbal wish, it is a true wish. Ma'asum says that whatever your intentions are, that is what is going to be. If you wish to be with them, you are with them. If your actions are with them, you are with them. So this is what is being mentioned over here by Imam, that we have to have an intention which is elevated, which is high. Remember that example that was mentioned of the 200 lamps, and we have to have an intention which is vast, which is huge, which takes everything on board, that we be with Ma'asumeen, all of them at all times. We have all gathered here on this night, which is the first night of this sacred month of Muharram. And it is amazing that whenever it is the advent of a year, we start this year with tears for the holy household of Aba Abdullah, for the noble Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam. And it is amazing that from the day that Imam sets off from Mecca, from Medina, and he arrives at Karbala, it's one after the other. It took so many months for them to reach Karbala. A tough journey, a journey full of fear, a journey full of fright, and a journey which is surrounded with enemies from all sides. Now people who travel, and when they come to their destination, no matter what that journey is, as soon as they come to the destination, they are relieved, they are relaxed. But over here we find that this noble household, it's not like that. They've come to the destination, instead of being relieved and relaxed, the tension increases. Says that every person who has come to this destination is upset. And they find that the leader of this caravan, which is Aba Abdullah, is murmuring something under his lips. And when they come to see what he says, Imam says that a painful event is going to unfold over here. Imam, he reaches the land, and then from a passing by group, he says, what is the name of this land? They say that it's Shatt-e-Furat, that it is this river Euphrates over here. Any other name? Say, we've got another name for that, and that is Karbala. Upon hearing the name Karbala, Imam is upset, he cries. And then when the sand and the earth of Karbala is given to the Imam, he smells it, says, yes, this is that point, this is that place where we will all perish. Says that this is the point where we will sit down, this is where the camels will sit down, this is where the children, they will be killed, this is where all the ashab, they will be killed. Points out at all of these different spots, and they all cry. Ardu Karbin wa Bala, it is the land of afflictions, land of pain. Again, when this information is given to the household that this is where they have to sit down, Aba Abdullah, he buys a piece of land over there, pays 60,000 dirhams, and to the dwellers of that place says that after us, we want you to inform people of this land, and I want you to host whoever comes to pay his visit, his ziyarat to me, for 3 days. And God, if you look into the tragedy that we have for Prophet Ibrahim, it's amazing. He is instructed to take his wife and his children to a barren land. And then the instructions given to Prophet Ibrahim is that you take your son and he has to be sacrificed. And then when he comes to be sacrificed, he places that knife on the throat of his son, it wouldn't cut. Says Al-Khalil Ya'muruni Wal-Jalil Yanhani, that Khalil, meaning Ibrahim, the friend of Allah, instructs me to cut, but it doesn't. والجليل ينهاني and Allah تبارك وتعالى does not allow me. But when you see Karbala, the scenario is something else. It's a tougher exam that Abu Abdullah al-Hussein has to give. Imam, he fell in the pit on the day of Ashura. And again his body soaked in his blood. Zuljanah, this noble horse of Abu Abdullah, this loyal horse who had served Rasulullah so much, comes to the pit, soaks its forehead and reins in the blood of Abu Abdullah. Umar Isad, he yells that, catch that horse, it's one of those loyal horses of Rasulullah who has served him. They come to catch him, but the horse doesn't allow, crushes 40 of Umar Isad's men, in addition to that 10 more. And then Umar Isad, he yells that, stop, let's see what that horse does. That loyal horse comes to the pit again and starts soaking and dipping its forehead and the reins in the blood of Abu Abdullah. And here Imam Baqir alayhi salam says that the neighing of that horse, do you know what it said? It said, "Al-Zalimatu al-Zalima min ummatin qatalat ibn bint Rasul." Says that, pity, what a disaster, with all that dust that was spread by that horse, "Al-Zalimatu al-Zalima," that curses be on that nation who killed the son of their own prophet. When they see this horse has come back to the camps and without the rider on it, the household, that is the women and the children who are the remaining over there, they rush to the pit where Abu Abdullah has fallen. And over here says that, "Kharajna min al-khudur nashirat al-shu'ur." They come out of the tent of the camps towards the pit where Abu Abdullah has fallen, and then there they, Zainab, she raises her cry, "Wa akha, wa akha, wa sayyida, wa ahl bayta, laytatil sama'u." May that sky had fallen down, may we never had seen this scene today, may all these mountains they had shattered before we had seen the scene. As-salamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah wa ala al-arwah allati halat bifina'ik alayka minni salamullah abadan ma baqit wa baqiya al-layl wal-nahar wa la ja'alahu Allah akhir al-ahd minni liziyaratikum. As-salamu ala al-Husayn wa ala Ali ibn al-Husayn wa ala awlad al-Husayn wa ala ashab al-Husayn. Ilahi bihaq al-Zahra wa abiha wa ba'liha wa baniha wa sirr al-mustawdari fiha 10 times. Ya Allahu, ya Allahu, ya Allah, ya Allahu, ya Allahu, ya Allah, ya Allahu, ya Allahu, ya Allahu, ya Allah. Ya Allah, all those who have requested for dua from us, all those who have hopes in these majalis, all those who are ill and ailing, all those who have passed away, may Allah grant all that everyone had wished, has wished and is wishing. May Allah grant us a niyyah which is elevated. May Allah grant us a niyyah which is abundant. May Allah bless us with everything good which every noble had asked him for. May Allah hasten the reappearance of the Imam of Time. May he enlist us among his true supporters and his true servants. May he, Jalla wa'ala, enlist our children, count them among the best Muslims who ever existed. Salawat. Ya Hussein! Ya Hussein!
Yahusay. 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 Yahusay.